From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voanews.id.
Here is the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Let's begin with the national news. The Indonesian economy must grow between 6-7% of the nation to get rid of the middle income trap. This was affirmed by Minister of National Development Planning and head of the National Development Planning Agency, Bappenas, Suharto Munawarfa, during a working meeting with Commission 11 of the House of Representatives DPR in Jakarta on Wednesday. As reported by Antaranus Agency, he said that economic growth must average at least 7% starting 2022 so that the government is able to escape from the middle income trap. Minister of State-Owned Enterprises, BUMN, Erick Thohir, targets PT Bank Syariah Indonesia, BSI, to rank among the world's top 10 Islamic banks as its assets surpass 240 trillion rupiah. As quoted by Antaranus Agency, he remarked in Jakarta on Wednesday that owing to this merger, BSI has assets of more than 240 trillion rupiah and is targeted to be included in the top 10 Islamic banks in the world. Hence, the government prays for and continues to support the management of BSI to be able to realize the noble ideals in a bid to create a comprehensive Syariah ecosystem not only in Indonesia but also in the world. Although in comparison with other nations, Indonesia started implementing the Islamic financial system rather late, but as a country with the largest Muslim population, it has its own advantage. He pointed out that Indonesia is projected to have a population of 184 million Muslim adults, of which over 50% are from the upper middle class, and most of them work in the private sector. Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sandiaga Salahuddin Uno shared a meeting with the Indian Ambassador to Indonesia, Sri Manoj Kumar Bharti, to discuss plans for reopening tourism in Bali. As reported by Antaranus Agency, Minister Uno pointed out in Badung, Bali on Wednesday that his side discussed the plan for reopening tourism in Bali by facilitating direct flights from India. Currently, the government is finalizing its preparation towards that plan and some other potential cooperation, including those in terms of investment, trade, as well as tourism and creative economy. He also said that trade and investment have been included in the scope of tourism and creative economy to strengthen bilateral relations of both countries and to raise spirits and spread hope. Minister Sandiaga Uno further pointed out that bilateral relations between Indonesia and India must be strengthened to help citizens move forward. Referring to the agreement between Indonesia and Italy signed in 1997, cooperation of both countries in the field of culture continues to increase, including in terms of literature and education. This was stated by director of the Italian Cultural Institute, IIC, who is also the cultural attaché of the Italian Embassy in Indonesia, Maria Battaglia. In the 100th birth commemoration of an Italian journalist and children's literature author, Gianni Rodari, in Jakarta on Wednesday.
The cooperation between Indonesia and Italy to promote and develop cultural collaboration in many fields. In the field of literature as well as in the field of language, for example, the cooperation is very active. Thanks to the agreement between the two countries signed in 1997, we have realized each other many activities which strengthen cultural ties. This year and today, we have the pleasure to present an Italian writer, Gianni Rodari, famous for his highly imaginative tales. On this occasion, we organize a webinar. At the same time, public can watch the exhibition of the 21 illustrators of the Rodari books.
The webinar entitled To Mystic Stories, An Infinite Fantasy, presented the speakers Pino Buero, former professor of children's literature and reading pedagogy at University of Genoa, Ice Khodija, independent educator, and Ario Jitni, co-founder of Komunitas Ayo Dongeng Indonesia Storytelling Community. In addition to webinar and literature exhibition held on March 17, April 30th, IIC Jakarta, in cooperation with Komunitas Ayo Dongeng Indonesia Storytelling Community, also produced podcasts of 10 Gianni Rodari stories in the Indonesian language. The Indonesian Ministry of Health is considering requests for COVID-19 vaccination activities to be conducted at night during the fasting month of Ramadan from mid-April to mid-May this year. Spokesperson for vaccination at the ministry, Siti Nadia Tarmizi, during a webinar on roadmap to herd immunity held online by Forum Elenia on Wednesday, stated that a fatwa or legal opinion of the Indonesian Ulama Council, or MUI, number 13/2021 on vaccination for COVID-19 during fasting stipulates that the intramuscular injection mechanism deployed for the vaccination does not invalidate a person's fast as long as it does not cause harm. Referring to this provision, the Ministry of Health has prepared all vaccination mechanisms in the day during Ramadan. Previously, the MUI Fatwa Commission recommended that the government be able to administer COVID-19 vaccination at night to cater to vaccine recipients with weak physical condition after undergoing fasting. Let's move on to the international news. Chief of the United Nations Human Rights, Michelle Bachelet, has agreed to an Ethiopian request for a joint investigation in the country's northern Tigray region, where Bachelet says possible war crimes may have been committed. As reported by Reuters.com, fighting between government troops and the region's former ruling party, the Tigray People's Liberation Front, or TPLF, has killed thousands of people and forced hundreds of thousands from their homes in the mountainous region of about 5 million. The United Nations has raised concerns about the atrocities being committed in Tigray, while U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has described acts carried out in the region as ethnic cleansing. Ethiopia has rejected Blinken's allegation. The Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights spokesman, Jonathan Fowler, said that Bachelet responded positively to a request from the state-run Ethiopian Human Rights Commission, EHRC, for joint investigation in Tigray. A top North Korean diplomat acknowledged on Thursday that the United States has recently tried to initiate contact, but blasted the attempts as a cheap trick that would never be answered until Washington dropped hostiles policy. The statement by First Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs for North Korea, Choi Soon-hui, is the first formal rejection of a tentative approaches by the new U.S. administration under President Joe Biden, who took office in January. As reported by Reuters.com, it came as U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken was visiting South Korea alongside Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin in a first overseas trip by top-level members of Biden's administration. Choi said in a statement carried by the state news agency KCNA that the attempts at contact were made by sending emails and telephone messages via various routes, including by a third country. She called the attempts at contact a cheap trick for gaining time and building up public opinion. President of the European Commission Ursula von der Leyen has said that if COVID-19 vaccine supplies in Europe do not improve, the European Union will reflect whether export to countries who have higher vaccination rates than the European Union are still proportionate. As quoted by BBC.com, post-Brexit disagreement between the European Union and the UK have been heightened by the diplomatic row over the export of the vaccine. President of the European Council, Charles Michel, claimed last week that the UK had imposed an outright ban on the export of vaccine and their components. There is no ban, though. and his claim was dismissed by the government as completely false. But Mrs. von der Leyen says the European Union is still waiting for export from the UK and it wants reciprocity. That was the news.
Indonesian government had decided to import salt in 2021 to fulfill the national demand. The Coordinating Ministry for Maritime and Investment stated that the total imported salt will reach 3.07 million tons this year. The salt import consists of 646,000 tons for food and mining, 2,426,000 tons for industry, and 5,501 ton for pharmacy and cosmetics. The salt import received much criticism. It was because until this moment, Indonesia is yet to be able to reach the salt self-sufficiency, although the President Joko Widodo had targeted it in 2015. Still, Indonesia keeps importing salt, especially for industrial needs. President Joko Widodo targeted salt self-sufficiency in 2015 because Indonesia has the capital for it. Indonesia has a 99,093 km coastline, which is the second longest right after Canada with 202,000 km. The long coastline should have given many benefits for the country, including great salt supply to fulfill the national need for salt. Contrary to that, Indonesia still imports salt for industry. In a bid to increase salt production, Indonesian government should have fixed the salt production method and land. Until now, the salt farmers are still using conventional methods by using sunlight for drying. And later, innovation must be really utilized. The salt farmers must be provided with proper technology. Meanwhile, for the production land, the government must hunt a suitable land for salt production. Despite having the second longest coastline, the location or area for salt ponds is still limited. Intensification
An extensification of the land also needs to be done to increase the production, even to export salt, if the issues can be solved properly. Certainly, this strive to improve the quality and quantity of national salt production needs support from many stakeholders and a right strategy from Indonesian government.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansen kakudai wo防ぎましょう. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmi.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo the getting over dragging pan COVID-19 door a masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listener, today in history starts with the event on March 18, 1937, about an explosion at New London School. On March 18, 1937, there was an explosion at the New London School in Texas, which was caused by a natural gas leakage. This explosion destroyed the New London School. Early in 1937, the school board canceled natural gas contracts and asked plumbers to install taps into the residual gas lines to save money. The strength of the explosion was so great that a 2-ton concrete block was thrown from the building. About 500 students and 40 teachers were in the building at the time. The disaster killed more than 295 students and teachers, making it the deadliest school disaster in American history. It remains the third deadliest disaster in Texas history after the Galveston hurricane of 1900 and the disaster of Texas City in 1947. Next event is that in 1953, an earthquake shocked Turkey. On March 18, 1953, there was an earthquake in the provinces of Kanakale and Balikesir in the Marmara region of western Turkey. The quake with the magnitude of 7.5 killed 1,070 people and caused damage worth $3.57 million. The damage caused by this earthquake led to the issuance of the new national reconstruction law in Turkey. The last event is that the biggest art theft in history took place in Boston in 1990. In the early hours of March 18, 1990, two thieves disguised as police officers stole 13 paintings worth about $500 million from the Isabel Stewart Gardner Museum in Boston, the United States. One of the stolen paintings was The Concert, a 1964 painting. This is one of only 34 works created by Johannes Vermeer. The painting is considered the most expensive one worth more than $200 million. In addition, the painting The Storm on the Sea of Galilee, made in 1633, is the only seascape painting by Rembrandt. The stolen paintings have yet to be found until today. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Kata rayumu dan ku tahu kamu mencoba untuk berbicara tentang isyarat cinta. Ku mengerti ini sulit untukmu dan ku tahu aku bahkan takkan pernah bisa untuk katakan cinta. Sadarkah bila aku
listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
The result of the coal-fired power plants, or PLTU, coal waste, showed that it does not fulfill the requirements to be categorized as hazardous and dangerous waste. That was stated by Director General of Environment and Forestry Ministry, Waste Management, Rosa Vivin Ratnawati. In a press statement as reported by Antara in Jakarta on Monday, Rosa Vivin said that the fly ash bottom ash or faba or the waste of coal power plants showed the facts that it is not a hazardous and toxic material. The facts include that it is not flammable, unexplosive, not cyanide and sulfide reactive, non-corrosive, as well as fulfilling toxicity characteristic leaching procedure or TCLP quality standard and heavy metal concentration test. Besides the result of human health risk study done by Patent 1 and 2 coal power plants showed there was no parameter surpassing the toxicity reference value set by the Manpower Ministry. The study aims to find risk potential against the workers. Vivian also ensured that despite coal waste being categorized as non-hazardous and toxic waste, the standard management will still be maintained. Previously, Indonesian government decided that faba is excluded from the hazardous and toxic waste category. It is in accordance with the Government Regulation No. 22/2021 on Environment Protection and Management. The regulation is derived from the Job Creation Law. Head of Metallurgy and Material Research Center at Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI, Nurul Taifikur Rahman, welcomed the exclusion of faba from the hazardous and toxic category. He said that faba contains many beneficial substances. Silica, the largest part of faba, is often used as a fertilizer. Faba also contains aluminum and magnesium, which are good for plants. The other substances in faba found good for plants are iron oxide, phosphor, potassium, and sodium.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Pagi ku terjebak di dalam ambisi, seperti orang-orang berdasi yang gila materi. Rasa bosan membukakan jalan mencari perang. Keluarlah dari zona nyaman. Sembilu yang dulu biarlah berlalu. Bekerja bersama hati, kita ini insan bukan seekor sapi. Sembilu yang dulu biarlah membiru. Berkarya bersama hati. Ekoku merangkul orang-orang yang mulai sejiwa denganku. Kebeeman membukakan jalan mencari teman. Bergeraklah dari zona nyaman. Seekor sapi. Sembilu yang dulu biarlah membiru. Berkarya bersama hati.
Dia yang tak bisa.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
In today's Indonesian Wonder, I'm going to introduce you to lalampa, a typical food from North Sulawesi. Some time ago, Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sandiaga Uno made a working visit to the Likupang Special Economic Zone, North Sulawesi. The Phase 1 area of the Likupang Zone is an area of 92.89 hectares with an investment value of nearly 1 trillion rupiah. As a super priority destination, Likupang Special Economic Zone in North Sulawesi has not only attractive tourism attractions such as Panulisan Beach or Talise Island, but also a variety of delicious culinary delights. One of them is lalampa. Lalampa has an oval shape. This food is made from sticky rice and wrapped in banana leaves. It contains shredded fish that has been mashed and seasoned. The basic ingredients for making lalampa include glutinous rice, salt, pandan leaves, coconut milk, tuna fish, and ground spices. Before burning, the leaves of the lalampa wrap will be smeared with vegetables oil, which makes the lalampa even more special. The aroma of lalampa feels stronger and penetrates deeply. Lalampa is eaten, the delicious glutinous rice, which is mixed with the strong spices of shredded fish and the wrapping of burnt banana leaves, make the food smell fragrant and delicious. This delicious culinary is perfect for a complement to drinking tea in the afternoon, especially when eaten warm. Lalampa is easily found in traditional markets, not only in Likupang, but also in other areas in North Sulawesi. The price is relatively affordable, around 1,000 to 2,000 rupiah per piece.
Thank you.
Listener, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Listeners, the low awareness of workers about occupational health and safety K3 met four students of the 10 November Institute of Technology ITS create an artificial intelligent AI-based drone innovation. This work environment monitoring drone innovation was created by Hamand Diawurrahman Yusdin, Muhammad Adrian Fadilah, Inggita Nirmala and Alif Aditya Wicaksono, and named Environment and Human Safety Surveillance, or ERAST. Hamam, the team leader, explained that this drone is integrated with AI, which uses the algorithm's name "You Only Look Once" or YOLO, and is equipped with a series of Arduino sensors. This technology is used to detect indicators of unsafe action from workers' personal protective equipment such as vests, long-sleeve shirts, helmets, goggles, and gloves. ERAST is also equipped with sensors that can be used to detect the threat of fires and dangerous gases. Even the drone is also attached with a proximity sensor so that it can automatically detect the potential for a collision with an object. This sensor is called the Smart Collision feature to prevent drones from obstructing the work environment. Regarding how ERAST works, Hamam explains that it starts from the hardware system, where the hardware in the form of a series of sensors will receive a signal from the work environment conditions. Later, the signal is captured and then sent to the software, which will determine the potential hazards in the work environment. If ERAST identifies unsafe actions or conditions, a warning system will be activated to remind workers of the hazard. From the identification process, the scan results will be received and stored by the computer operator. According to Hamam, to make ERAST's AI detect an object, his team must first train the program by entering the relevant data set. One of the data that is entered is the photographs of the personal protective equipment. ERAST drone can also carry out surveillance in areas that are difficult to be reached by conventional surveillance tools such as CCTV. Hamam hopes that in the future, this drone will be a technology that can be used massively, because with Internet of Things technology and the 4.0 industrial revolution, drones have many advantages in their implementation. Thanks to this innovation, he and his team won a gold medal at the 2021 Asian Innovative Science, Environmental and Entrepreneurial Fair, held by the Indonesian Young Scientists Association last month. That was Miscellany.
Thank you. mencegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chokuyō shite COVID-19 no kansen kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
Rang zhen que pei tai kong zhao, yi fang qi xin xing guang zhuang bing du fei yan de chuan bo. Wo de kou zhao bao hu ni, yi de kou zhao bao hu wo.
Evite la difusión del coronavirus, cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overdragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today, I'm going to highlight a song entitled Pergilah Kasih, popularized by the legendary singer Krisha. The band The Massive and young singer Igan Andika have rearranged this song. The song is included in the album Pergilah Kasih, which was released in 1989. According to the songwriter Tito Sumarsono, the meaning of the song Pergilah Kasih is intended for women who leave their lovers because of material matters. Here is The Massive with Pergilah Kasih.
Tinggalkan dekku.
Voice of Indonesia.
It's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter at VOI Indonesia. And send us email on voi@voinews.id.